All right, guys, I believe that Satan knows his time is short, and he knows that the end time generation has a promise hanging over its head, and he is working overtime to try to delay or even as foolish as try to stop what God has ordained. We're going to talk about that on tonight's podcast. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Friday, August the 9th. I appreciate you guys coming on tonight. We typically broadcast on Thursday nights, but as many of you know, we took off yesterday. I just knew my body's limitations. I had to take some rest, and I'm very thankful I did that. Got a very good night's rest of sleep last night, so I'm ready to go. We're back in the studio, back in the saddle, and we've got a great one lined up for you tonight. Before we get started, as always, can you do me a favor? Help us get our material out there on social media platforms, and you can do that by hitting the like button, hit the share button, hit that bell notification. All that is going to push this out there and be beneficial, one, to get us noticed, and two, to notify you of what we're broadcasting. As always, the best thing you can do is download our free app, and it's available on Apple and Android devices, and you can get it, again, at your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Just download our app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away, good to go, every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, every prophecy update, everything right there. And you, and listen, you can, everybody that has our app, they always say they love being able to watch or listen to our podcast, and it's easily, you can go there. And then of course you got all the headlines. So it's the perfect instrument, the tool that you can use to keep up with what we're doing. So today I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 102, verses 16 and 17, Psalm 102, 16 and 17. This is where I want to start. Cause again, as I've told you, when I said on the introduction of this message, we know according to the book of Revelation that when Satan knows his time is short upon the earth, the Bible says he will come down with great wrath. Okay. Now what better, obviously when we get to, in context of that scripture, he begins to pour out his wrath in the tribulation upon the Jewish people. But watch this. There is a group of people in the earth today that has a promise hanging over their head. And God knows this, and so does Satan. And that group of people is the young generation. It is the generation, and I say the generation, that will lead up to the ushering in of the coming of the Lord. That generation, I don't believe Satan knows the exact day nor hour. Why? Because your Bible says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour, not even the heaven, not even the angels in heaven, nor Jesus. So if the angels, nor Jesus, nor man, I would venture to say that Satan does not know the day nor the hour that the Lord's going to return. Just like he did not know that the one thing that the Father held secret or kept secret, the weapon that would defeat him from the foundation of the earth, was the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says if the princes would have known, they would have not allowed the Prince of Glory to be crucified, because again, it was through his death, burial, and resurrection that he defeated Satan and stripped him of death, hell, and the grave. So on that note, again, I believe that Satan, there is prophecy that's been spoken out into existence. It's been spoken out, and it's been out for thousands of years. So Satan is aware that there will come a generation of young people that is going to be marked by God. They're going to do great exploits. Come on, somebody. And they will be influential in preparing the way of the Lord. So having said that, I believe this is why we're seeing an uptick. It's ramping up on the attacks against young people of this generation, because I believe Satan is threatened. I believe that Satan believes by he, come on, just like we look and we don't know the day nor the hour, right? But we know the times and seasons. Come on, somebody. You don't think the devil can look around and see the shakings of the earth, the planets, the kingdoms, the culture, the civilization, everything that's going on, the upheaval, everything that's happening? He knows prophecy, friend. He knows the word. So having said that, I want to show you this. Psalms 102, 16 and 17. Watch this. Psalm 102, 16 and 17. Watch this. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This, what's this? When the Lord shall build up Zion and he appears in his glory and he doesn't regard the prayer that, and he regards the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. This, all of this will be written for the generation to come that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Now, this is a lot to unravel. Okay. Now, right here in Psalms 102:16, when it says the Lord shall build up, this word is a word that we also find called restitution. Okay. And it means to bring back to its former state. So again, and Zion is another name for Israel or Jerusalem. So for the Lord shall restore Israel. It shall come on. The Lord shall restore Jerusalem. For the, and here's what he's saying here is when you see a generation that is alive in the earth that is witnessing the restitution, the reconciliation, the restoration of the nation of Israel, that generation has the potential, come on, to be alive in the earth at the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one. Number two, also, the Lord returning is contingent upon Israel being restored. Can I show you that in Scripture? You say, well, where is that at, Brother Ricky? It's in Acts chapter 3. Peter stands up in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. Listen to this, whom heaven must receive. And again, that word, it means to withhold or restrain until the times of, and here's the same word, restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Again, I have cross-references with theologians, other scholars, and they all agree that the restoration of all things here spoken by the prophets has to deal with the nation of Israel. In other words, Peter is getting up, he's standing up, and he's saying that heaven is holding back Jesus from returning until we see everything that the prophets have foretold and prophesied about Israel coming to pass in a lifetime. My friend, I don't have time. It would take me another hour to go and show you all the prophets of all the prophecies from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, from Hosea, from Haggai, all these prophecies of regarding the nation of Israel, how they would be born as a nation in one day, how they'd be, the Jerusalem would be reinstated as the capital, how they would blossom again, how they would flourish again, how they would be raised back from the point of no return. Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones, all this stuff here. And all of these things, guys, have been fulfilled. All these prophecies, the Jews would come with a great exodus that would come that would be greater than those that came out of Egypt. So all these prophecies, friend, are being fulfilled. I believe that most of them have already been fulfilled, so there's not many left. But watch this. The psalmist says, when you shall see Jerusalem be built up, then he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If this don't make you excited, friend, then you need to check your pulse. And then he says, he shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Verse 18, friend, is a massive clue, I believe, to what the generation is going to be like when he appears. Look what he says. This will be written not in the time that the psalmist wrote it. This was not fulfilled 2,000 years ago. This was not written for their time. He said, this will be written for the generation to come. So he says, there's coming a generation that is not yet born. They've not yet come to the earth, but this generation will come. And look at this. It will be a people yet to be created who will praise the Lord. So he says that there will be, watch this, there will be a generation that will come. They will appear in the earth before the coming of the Lord. I would venture to say they will usher in the coming of the Lord. They will be a praising generation. They will be alive in the earth when Israel is being restored to its original state. They will be in the earth. There's some of you, I believe this with all my heart, friend. There is some of us, there is many of us that are alive listening to this, and you were born in 1947, 1948 and onward. If that's you and you're watching, you're listening, you and I have the potential to be a part of that generation, that last generation, that's a praising generation that is alive and well in the earth, that is preparing the way of the Lord. Because listen to me, I believe that we are that generation that has that spirit and the anointing of Elijah that is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then, of course, we have Joel chapter 2. This is an ongoing prophecy. He tells us that God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters will be instrumental in prophesying. I know there's churches that don't want them to prophesy. They don't want them to open their mouth. They want them to sit down and keep their mouth shut. But come on, the Word of God says your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And even, come on, old men, where you at? Come on, hit me up in the chat. Say, I'm right here. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And you younger men are going to see visions. But come on, ladies. He says, not only will I pour out my spirit upon men servants, but my maid servants will have the spirit of God poured out on you as well. I'm trying to tell you today, friends, that there is a generation that's marked of God in the last days, that is a praising generation that is alive in the earth when the restoration of Israel is taking place. And they are a great threat to the kingdom of hell. And Satan is working in overtime to try to destroy them. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, how is he doing that? I'm glad you asked, because everything I just told you was the foundation introduction of this message tonight. Now, because I could have jumped right into the stories and they wouldn't have been as impactful as they are now. Now that you know this, that we're not wrestling flesh and blood, come on somebody, but we're wrestling principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're dealing with demonic forces. Now you understand the magnitude of what I'm saying here. Look at this headline. Pandora's box of polyamory, child marriages possible under proposed California amendment. Again, the Pandora's box of polyamory, child marriages, and the list goes on, is all under a possible proposed amendment from California. A pro-family California organization is warning that a proposed state constitutional amendment to eliminate the traditional, look at this, eliminate the traditional definition of marriage. This is the proposal, guys. In California, an organization is warning that there is a proposed state constitutional amendment to eliminate God's model of marriage from the Word of God. The traditional definition of marriage between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. We're going to do away with that. They're proposing a state constitutional amendment to remove this from the state law that could potentially, listen to this, open up Pandora's box to legitimize polyamorous, incestuous, and child marriages. The Assembly Constitutional Amendment 5 ACA 5, which aims to repeal Proposition 8's language that states marriage is only between a man and a woman. Who didn't see this coming? was introduced by Democratic State Senator Scott Wiener and Assemblymember Evan Lowe to protect same-sex marriages. If it's passed, in its place, the state constitution would provide that, quote, the right to marry is a fundamental right. However, this family, this California Family Council, which is a conservative advocacy group, believes the wording of the ACA 5 is too open-ended and will lead to the normalization of non-traditional marriage structures that, here it is, could harm children's development. What are we talking about today, church? Quote, in a society like ours, you never can count on what people are willing to do for legal and financial and political reasons. According to CFC President Jonathan Keller, he told Fox News in an interview, and ACA 5 again eliminates any of those safeguards and it opens Pandora's box. He went on to say that you could have things like siblings getting married. You could have nephews and nieces marrying uncles and aunts. You could have potentially even mothers and fathers marrying each other, or mothers and children, or fathers and children marrying each other. The concern of this comes as the Oakland City Council approved polyamorous relationships in April, protecting diverse family structures from discrimination. The Berkeley City Council passed a similar proposal back in May, paving the way for more recognition of non-traditional relationships in the liberal Bay Area. Keller went on to say that ACA 5, if passed, could be a disaster if enshrined into law, since California is one of the few states that child marriage remains legal. Now, since we're talking about California, let me give you another title here. Governor Newsom signs a transgender parental notification ban in schools. According to the report, Newsom signed a bill that prohibits school districts from having policies that require parents to be notified if their child identifies as trans.
The final straw for Elon Musk. California Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a law removing parental rights from schools. And now Musk says he's moving SpaceX headquarters to Texas, quote, because of this law and the many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies. The law signed by Newsom prevents schools from notifying parents if students use different pronouns or identify as a different gender than what is listed in school enrollment records. They called it the Safety Act, but instead they should call it the Preventing Parental Rights Act. 1 month ago, when the bill passed the California State Senate, Senator Jim Patterson explained why he opposed it.
I have never seen an effort to damage the relationship between children and their parents like this one.
Folks, we need to put a stop to laws like this. Parents, not the government, have God-given authority over their children. The only time the state should get involved is if a child is in danger or knowingly abused.
The passage of this Assembly Bill 1955 comes after several school districts across the state put parental notification policies in place. Some of those policies have been challenged in court. The law prevents districts from requiring staff to disclose a student's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression without the student's consent. It sparked heated debate at the Capitol this year. A couple of weeks ago, a debate between lawmakers almost turned violent over this bill. Quote, politically motivated attacks on the rights, safety, and dignity of trans, non-binary, and other LGBTQ plus youth are on the rise nationwide, including in California, said the bill's author. While some school districts have adopted policies to forcibly out students, the Safety Act ensures that discussions about gender identity remain a, quote, private matter within the family. As a parent, I urge all parents to talk to their children, listen to them, and love them unconditionally for who they are. One assembly member who opposed the bill said it codifies the government's authority to keep secrets from parents. Again, remember who's behind this, friend. Satan. He's working overtime to try to destroy your children's identity, to confuse them, to make them confused of what they are and who they are and what their purpose is. Then you had this bill in Massachusetts that is redefining parenthood, stripping away mother and father, and it could soon be state law. What? A Massachusetts bill which seeks to update state law to redefine who legally qualifies as a parent passed in the state Senate on Thursday recently and now awaits signature from Democratic governor to become law. The Massachusetts Parentage Act aims to ensure legal parentage equality for children born to parents, quote, without regard to the marital status, gender identity, or sexual orientation of their parents, or the circumstances of their birth, including whether they were born as a result of assisted reproduction or surrogacy. Again, this is explained in the bill. The bill requires gender terms like father and mother to be stripped from state parentage law and replaced, here it is, with more inclusive terms like parent or the person who gave birth. Now, if you think this stuff's going to calm down when the election comes, if certain individuals are elected, it's only going to intensify. You want an example? Check this out. Let's see what the potential, and I say the potential president of the next president of the United States. Let's see what she has to say. Ready? Watch this.
And, you know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Just whatever you do, just stay woke. That is directly from the lips of the potential next president of the United States of America. So again, this proposed bill in Massachusetts would remove the word father on birth certificates in the name of a legal parentage equality. You guys do realize that this wokeness has just killed a business that is over 100 and some odd years old called Harley Davidson. This stuff just completely killed it. And now I want to show you this is from Delta Airlines. Look at this. Delta's top DEI officer jettisons, ladies and gentlemen, gate announcements as part of equity push. Let me translate this to you. We are no longer going to say ladies and gentlemen when they come out with a gate announcement. Why? This is all part of an equity push. Over the years, Delta Airlines has embraced the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda under the purview of a chief officer who believes that the phrase, ladies and gentlemen, isn't inclusive and is even offensive. Let me give you this quote from the Delta's chief diversity. This is the chief diversity, equity, inclusion, and social impact officer. Anybody fly Delta? Come on, let me see your hand wave in the chat down here. Because this, again, you're not going to hear this anymore. Let me give this to you.
So we're beginning to take a hard look at things like our gatehouse announcements. You know, we welcome ladies and gentlemen, and we've asked ourselves, is that as gender inclusive as we want to be? You know, we're looking at some legacy language that exists in some of our employee manuals and getting to the root of the way some things are described.
Johnson said during a February 2021 panel with other DEI insiders, quote, you know, we're looking at some legacy language that exists in some of our employee manuals and getting to the, quote, root of the way some things are described and saying, quote, does that actually send a message of inclusivity? Oh, my. If we get up there and say, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, will people be so offended that they'll start flying American Airlines instead of Delta? Oh, no, we're going to lose these people because we actually use a term that's been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Delta released an inclusive language guide. This is an airline industry. People, think about that. In December of 2020, which advised employees and leaders against using terms that reinforce the notion that there are only two genders. Insanity. Insanity. Instead, quote, use gender-neutral language and pronouns. Do not use language that suggests a gender binary, male and female. This is according to the Delta Guide. Delta encourages our people to use language that is inclusive of everyone, as our global customer base includes a broad range of diversity and cultural backgrounds, identity, and experiences. So why don't we just say, good morning, human beings? Oh, I know, because there might be someone there in the terminal or on the airlines that may not identify as human. So we can't say, good morning, humans. Is this really, somebody please pinch me and wake me up from this nightmare that we are in. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's this got to do with our children? What's this got to do with the generation? Friends, it has a lot to do with it, because we are teaching our children that this is normal when it's not. My kids are 16 and 9, and they will say, ladies and gentlemen, they'll say, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, sir, and they don't apologize for it, and neither am I going to. If you don't like it, too bad. So the enemy is working overtime in these last days, friend, to keep a generation confused in their identity, get them so mixed up in the culture that they believe that this nonsense is normal when it's not. And it goes on. We could talk about the shedding of innocent blood. We could talk about the legal systems that are in place that are removing millions of people on the planet before they even have a chance to be born. Now, here, let me give you another example of this. Look at this. More U.S. women are getting permanently sterilized because they never want to have children. Again, think about it. If Satan can convince women to not have children, then it's less of a threat to him. If there's a prophecy on the young people that they're going to prophesy, they're going to do great exploits in the last days. Of course, Satan's going to convince a generation to do this. Let me read this. Large numbers of young women in their 20s and 30s are getting permanently sterilized in order to make absolutely sure that they will never get pregnant. Many U.S. adults no longer consider having children or being married to be very important goals in life. Instead, a lot of them are focusing on other pursuits. Of course they are. Satan wants to keep you busy with the cares of life, entertainment, all this stuff to indulge in your flesh. They don't want to be unintended. They don't want unintended pregnancies messing that up. In some cases, young adults are taking things to the extreme by getting permanently sterilized. According to one national study, there was a very sharp increase in the number of tubal sterilizations and vasectomies immediately following the Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. And on top of that, there was a recent study by the Pew Research Center discovered that the portion of the population that is no longer interested in raising children has grown larger and larger. Let me read this. Quote, a growing number of U.S. adults say they are unlikely to raise children, according to a study released on Thursday by the Pew Research Center. When the survey was conducted in 2023, 47% of those younger than 50 without children said they were unlikely ever to have children, which is an increase of 10% since 2018. When asked why kids were not in their future, 57% said they simply didn't want to have them. Women were more likely to respond this way than men, 64% versus 50%. Further reasons included the desire to focus on other things like their own careers, their own interests, concerns about the state of the world, worries about the cost involved in raising children, and concerns about the environment, including climate change. Of course, got to throw that in there. And having found the right partner. Now, where are they getting this? Well, Kamala, whatever her name is, she got up and actually made a statement. There was a video that surfaced where she suggests that young people should not have children due to climate change. She calls climate anxiety the fear of the future and the unknown of whether it makes sense for you to even think about having children. Isn't it amazing that these people eat this stuff up? I'm telling you, that's my concerns about this next election, friend. is because we are, listen to me, I know this ain't going to be popular. We are ripe for judgment. And my friend, if this woman wins this election, I believe this very well could be the judgment of God, the further judgment of God. It's not that it's coming, it's here. And this is going to bring us into deeper judgment of God. I'm going to go on record and say that. If this woman wins the election, this could be a deeper judgment of God, and it very well could fulfill, and I've said this before, William Branham's prophecy that I've spoken, and I'm not going to rehash that, go back and listen to that podcast, that he saw before the coming of the Lord. Now, I know this is a lot to take in, but I want to share this final thought with you. Ecclesiastes, that which was, come on, finish it for me, is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Does Satan have patterns? Yes. Does God work in patterns, cycles, and seasons? Yes. Both operate in cycles, seasons, and patterns. So I think it's safe to say that if we go and do a little bit of history and research, you're going to find a stunning pattern. Did you know that right before a deliverer appeared on the scene. Listen to me. Let me say that again. Right before a deliverer that would set the captives free and liberate them, right before a deliverer came on the scene, Satan worked overtime to destroy an entire generation that was a threat to him. You ready for this? There was a prophecy that a deliverer would rise up out of Israel and set the children of Israel free from their captivity. And when Pharaoh caught wind of that, he sent out a decree to drown all of the firstborn Hebrews in the river. Are you hearing me? There was an assignment from hell to destroy an entire generation in its infancy. And then around 4 to 6 BC, the New Testament gives an account where King Herod ordered the killing of all male infants in Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under in an attempt to kill the newborn Jesus, aka deliverer, that was prophesied to come. Are you hearing me? There was a prophecy that a deliverer would come, and Herod tried, and he was inspired by Satan to try to stop the prophecy from being fulfilled and the deliverer from coming. So what did he do? He targeted the young people. So we fast forward to today. Is it any wonder that you had Israel was born as a nation in 1947, 1948. They was reinstated to Jerusalem as the capital in 1967. So you had two major prophecies that Satan knew. Wait a minute. Psalms 102 says, when they shall build up Zion, then the Lord shall appear in his glory. So he knew that if there was a generation alive that saw the restitution of Israel being restored, 1948, 1967, then he's going to have to stop a generation from rising, because he knows that there has to be a deliverer that is going to appear. So what happened? Shortly after that, in 1973, there was a landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to legalize abortion. And from that time, there's been millions upon millions of children that have been wiped out. And now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned by the Supreme Court, I'm telling you, that's why these demons are foaming at the mouth. All hell's breaking loose. Literally, hell is being shaken to the core. So you know what Satan's doing? He's like, well, we're kind of losing this battle on the abortion thing. So you know what he's doing now? He knows that if he can just keep a generation confused and numb and dumb and don't know which way to turn and don't know if they're going left or right or if they're a man or if they're a woman or if they're a boy, if they're a girl, if they're a horse, if they're this or if that, if he can keep them in confusion, then he knows that he will destroy their identity and their purpose. My friend, the point I'm trying to make to you is I see, and I believe you can see this as well, there is an absolute demonic onslaught against our young people. And you and I have a mandate as parents and grandparents to, come on, to pray over them, decree over them, declare over them, and affirm them as the women and men and sons and daughters of God that they have been called to be in this hour. I'm reminded of Job. Let me take you to the book of Job. The Bible called Job the greatest man in the East. And you can go, let me go over here and let me show you this. This is in the book of Job chapter 1. I want to show you this. The Bible says that Job, his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on their appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So look what it says here. This is Job 1:5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, quote, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Translation, friend, listen to this. Ready for this? Job understood as a father that he had a mandate, come on, to pray for his sons and daughters, to anoint them with oil, to consecrate them, to set them apart, and plead the blood of Jesus over them, decree the word of God over them, declare the blessing of God over them, affirm them in who they are. Why? Because he understood something, that Satan is always on the prowl, looking to try to devour our sons and daughters. Why? Because he knows there is prophecy over them. They have a purpose, they have a mandate, and they will be used by God in the last days. Now, here's where I want to stop this right now. We're going to shift gears. I want every parent that's represented tonight, every husband, every wife, every uncle, every aunt, every brother, every sister, every whatever the case would be, grandparent, if you have children, young children, I would say 12 and under. If you have children 12 and under, and you, and listen, if you got like me, I've got a 16-year-old, you can include them in this as well, okay? I'm just throwing out a number. Let's just say our children, okay? Our sons and daughters. Let's just cover it right here. If you have sons and daughters, I want you to join with me right now. We're going to pray for them. If you can, if you've got them with you in your home, your kitchen, your living room, your basement, your car, whatever, put your hands on their shoulders. Put your hand on their back. Put your hand on their head. I want you to call them out by name. Come on. I don't have my sons with me, so I'm going to put my hand on my chest right here, representing that I'm laying hands on them. Come on, let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. We draw a bloodline around our sons and daughters, and we declare that Satan cannot have them. Devil, we declare to you that you shall not have our sons. You shall not have our daughters. You will not drown them in this dissipation of this flood, of this culture of wokeness. You will not bound them by confusion. You will not destroy their identity, but we declare that our sons and daughters shall do great exploits. They shall know their God and do great exploits. They shall serve the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not serve false gods and idols and all these other nonsense that the world has to offer them. Lord, I thank you. They will not bow down to Baal. They're not going to bow down to Jezebel. They're not going to bow down to all these false idols in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that they will not be succumbed to substances and drugs and alcohol and narcotics and all these things that would try to destroy their minds and destroy and alter their sense of discernment and their thinking and their logic in Jesus' name. But Father, I declare that they'll have a sound mind. They'll have an alert mind. They will operate in wisdom and knowledge and the purpose of God in Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe this today. Just declare it over them. Devil, you shall not have one member of our family. I declare that all of our sons and daughters are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I declare they'll be baptized in water. I declare that they'll be mighty in the earth. I come into agreement with Joel chapter 2. I declare that my sons and daughters are going to prophesy. I declare dreams and visions. I thank you, Father, you're pouring out your spirit on men, servants, and maid servants in these last days. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you that our sons and daughters are a praising generation. Lord, they're going to praise. They're going to worship. They're going to let their light so shine among other boys and girls in their schools. They're going to let their light so shine among them that others will see their works and glorify the Father which is in heaven in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you today. I praise you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for, Lord, if there's any son or daughter that's represented here today and Satan's already got a hook in them. He's already got them hooked in. He's got them hooked on drugs, or he's got them hooked on alcohol. He's got them hooked in pornography. He's got them hooked in something that's leading them off course and leading them astray and leading them into darkness. We declare today that that power of that is being broken in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that they're being set free. Lord, in Jesus' name. Devil, we declare that you cannot have them. We declare that your power is broken off of them in Jesus' mighty name. I call in every prodigal son. I call in every prodigal daughter. Right now, I call them in Jesus' name. Father, I stand on Acts 16:31. Come on, you need to pray this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your whole household shall be saved. That's what the Word of God says. And you need to believe it today. Father, we release, we ask that the angels of God be released from heaven. Father, let them go forth, Lord. Lord, if the angels set men of God free from jail cells, if they broke chains off of men, if they shut the lions' mouths up in dens, Father, surely they can set our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, surely they can set them free from the power of drugs and alcohol and pornography and the wrong company and corrupt communication and all the tactics and devices and schemes of the devil's plans that keep them in darkness and in bondage and from fulfilling their destiny in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask today in Jesus' name that, Father, every household that's represented listening under the sound of my voice, I pray that the Lord would visit you mightily. I pray the Spirit of God fall upon your family. I pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, may you operate in the fullness of God's will and his purpose for your life. In Jesus' name. Come on, do you receive this today? Hallelujah. Man, do you feel the anointing and the power of God today? God is moving mightily right here, even on this podcast today. So listen, if you know anybody, friends, that would benefit, be blessed and encouraged by this message, you know what to do. Hit that like button. Hit that share button. Get this word out. You guys listen on Apple, Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. This is going to help push it out on these algorithms so other people can see our content. And again, pick up our free app. Download it today. Apple, Android. Go to the description of this video on Rumble, on YouTube, wherever you may be watching, and look for where it says download our free app. Just click on that link and you can get it today. And of course, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equipped you, informed you, all the above, if this is your home church, whatever your relationship with this ministry, and you just want to sow back into us, we want to make that opportunity available to you. You can do that two different ways. Electronically, there's several ways you can do that. The easiest way is through the app. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, I have some announcements. If I would love for you to stick around. Most of our family sticks around. Number one, I want to thank everybody for your continual prayers for my good friend. I call him a brother from another mother. His name was Chad. Many of you guys remember he was fighting liver failure from just literally, guys, the enemy put him in a state of depression, and he looked to substance over the Lord, which again, we're not holding that over him, but I really believe he died before his time, and it's a shame. But come on, What the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around for good, because I believe with all my heart, based on my own conversations with him, other conversations with him and family and friends, that his heart is right. He's in the presence of the Lord as we speak. He's reunited with his Father. So to be absent from the body, come on somebody, is to be present with the Lord. So you know what? We miss him, but we celebrate and we're joyful that he has finished. Come on, he's received that crown, that imperishable crown, and that's the ultimate goal, right? That's the ultimate healing. So he's in the presence of the Lord. So again, I appreciate all of your prayers for that. I appreciate your ongoing prayers for myself as I've been dealing this infirmity. And you know what? This too shall pass. We're going to press in, we're going to press through, and we're going to keep going. Come on, the devil is a liar in Jesus' name. And we will get the victory. Come on, because Satan will not stop what God has ordained. And having said that, our prayer room is probably going to be done by next week. What does that even mean? What that means is we're going to be able to start streaming live prayer sessions. If you like this prayer at the end of this that we just prayed, imagine a 40-minute prayer time where we pray over your family, we pray over your needs, we pray over the country, we pray over certain circumstances. We're going to start doing that live from this prayer room that we have commissioned for this and set up and consecrated for that purpose. So I wanted to inform you this. I've got my notebook out. I'm taking notes. I've got some sermons on deck and teaching, equipping messages for next week. We've got some talking points we want to talk about next week. So we've got a lot to cover. Of course, our eyes are on the Middle East, what's going on over there. We're heading up. We're getting closer to the 9th of Av, which is, I believe it's August 12th to the 13th, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there, that time frame. We need to keep our eyes open because there could be an attack from Israel or from Iran or Persia against Israel. And again, those coalition of nations could come in and try to attack Israel as well. So we're going to keep our eye on that. We'll be praying about that. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be back here. We're going to take off Saturday, Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be right back here on the 12th of August, Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.